Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. So glad you tuned in. Today, and for the next few broadcasts, we'll be enjoying selected portions of Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. I don't know about you, but my mind could certainly do with some healing in a few areas, so I'm very interested in what the good doctor has to tell us. At the end of the broadcast, I'll share with you how you can listen to the entire book at no cost at all. Today's program is entitled The Destroyer Within, and I think you're going to be amazed at what you hear. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's presentation. Here's Dr. Jennings.
In the beginning, God created the first human being, Adam, in his image. Originally, humanity was perfect, genetically, mentally, and spiritually. Human beings possessed a pure conscience and noble reason, and experienced perfect worship in a face-to-face relationship with God, thus keeping all the other faculties of the mind in perpetual harmony and balance. The principles of love and liberty governed the mind. Peace and contentment were the constant outgrowth of a mind in perfect balance. Unfortunately, such perfect balance did not last. Humanity broke its trust with God. Selfishness, self-seeking, displaced love and liberty. Human beings lost their innate sense of safety and security. Their experience of peace gone, they became consumed with fear and guilt, which led to a drive for self-preservation. Prior to Adam's selfish choice, the human mind was free from fear. Fear was a new and devastating emotion that contaminated the human mind. Because human beings no longer trusted the Lord for their welfare, the principle of survival of the fittest emerged. Because Adam, without cause, chose to break trust with God and pursue his own self-interest, his conscience convicted him of guilt. This guilt, in turn, condemned Adam. Experiencing the condemnation of his own conscience, Adam was afraid for his life, and so took matters into his own hands. With his mind now consumed with fear and doubt, with love and liberty no longer the pervasive power in his heart, with the principle of self-preservation firmly established, Adam set out to save himself. He ran and hid. And humanity has been running and hiding from God ever since. But for the grace of God, the human race would be doomed. Selfishness is the destructive element infecting the mind. It is not present in the mind as originally designed by God, but has become an infecting agent, an intruder, contaminating our mental faculties and destabilizing their function. Without God's intervention and plan to heal the mind, humanity's condition would be hopeless. Psychiatrists recognize the selfish aspect of our being and refer to it as egocentrism. Not an acquired characteristic, it is innate. Because Adam broke trust with God and became self-centered, all humanity, as offspring of Adam, are born biologically and genetically self-centered. As David wrote in Psalms 51, I was born with iniquity, with sin my mother conceived me. Verse 7. How many infants are interested in whether mother is well rested and fed? None. Babies focus on their own needs. It is our inheritance from Adam. When God created Adam, He delegated to him the ability to create beings in his image. Just as God created Adam in his own image, so after sin, Adam produced children possessing his nature and qualities. This pattern continues today, as all parents have surely noticed. If you are familiar with the concepts of Sigmund Freud, selfishness is the part of the mind he called the id. Freud considered the id a genetically programmed drive of sex and aggression that dominated our development. Sensualism is synonymous with what he labeled as sex, and relates to all forms of physical pleasure. While the category certainly involves sexual contact, it also includes drugs, alcohol, gluttony, and essentially all sensory pleasures. Materialism is synonymous with greed, which consists of the pursuit of material possessions at the expense of others, and egotism involves putting self ahead of others. It's worth emphasizing that both materialism and egotism are aggressive behaviors. Unless overcome, such primitive drives will lead to self-destruction. But because Freud did not acknowledge God's role in human life, he could not include him in his treatment plan, so he chose the only logical alternative available to him, self. A Christian model of treatment adds additional insights. Jeremiah 17:9 informs us that the human mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We must turn to God for His help. Otherwise, attempts to understand one's mind unaided by divine guidance can ultimately lead to further deception. Another important factor in the treatment process is the law of worship, also known as modeling. Because of it, we become like whatever we admire or worship. Whatever we idealize, whether it be a person, God, idea, or idol, we become more like it. We adapt ourselves to whatever we focus on. If we focus on self, we become more self-centered. As we train the mind to focus on the destructive, infecting element of the mind, its dangerous power strengthens. This change occurs both in character and biology. The brain will actually rewire itself based on the things we think, do, see, and experience. Indeed, the brain is constantly branching and pruning its neural network. The choices we make, what we think, believe, admire, and worship, as well as the behavior in which we engage, all have profound effects on the ultimate development of our neural network and thus our characters. The software, what we think, can actually change the hardware, the neural network. This is why habits are not easily eliminated. The stronger a habit and the longer it exists, the more time and effort necessary for the pathways to disappear. Now you might be saying, this is all very interesting, but what role does it have in healing the mind? It is important because we have the power, by the use of the will, to choose which neural circuits receive continued use in our brains. By the choices we make, we can cooperate with God for the actual transformation of our characters here and now. When we choose, in cooperation with God, to behave in ways that reason and conscience have determined most healthy, we receive divine power to follow through on those decisions. Consider the example of smokers. They can pray for deliverance all they want, but until they decide to set the cigarettes down, they will continue to smoke. However, when they discard the cigarettes and seek God's help, they receive divine power sufficient for the task. The divine power enables the smoker to tolerate the agony of withdrawal and to experience eventual freedom from their cravings. Thus, over time, their neural circuitry changes and the pathways that correspond to the habit of smoking slowly degrade, while neural circuits responsible for self-control strengthen. In September 1999, Nature magazine published research that further supports the fact that our actions and choices actually result in physical changes in the brain itself. Conducted by a collaboration of scientists from Yale, Harvard, and Northwestern, the study revealed that a person's use of cocaine causes a change in the brain that activates previously dormant genes. It means that certain behaviors can actually cause genes, which are turned off, to switch on and begin exerting their influence on the individual. In the case of cocaine, it activates a gene that causes the production of certain proteins that produce increased cravings for more cocaine. B.S. Centerwall conducted research that powerfully demonstrates the law of worship, modeling. He published his results in the Journal of the American Medical Association. In an effort to assess the effects of television programming on violence in society, Centerwall developed an elaborate study to evaluate violence in society before and after the introduction of television. Because he wanted a clear-cut indicator of violence, he focused on homicide rates in the United States. To avoid objections that any increase in the murder rate might result from easy access to guns, he compared the U.S. rates to those in Canada, a similarly westernized country, but with strict gun control. Finally, he compared the information from these two nations with statistics derived from South Africa, which did not allow television until the 1970s. As added precaution, he counted only white-on-white murder in South Africa to rule out any chance of the apartheid policies of racism affecting the outcome. What he discovered was startling. After introduction of TV, homicide rates in the United States increased by 93% from 1945 to 1974. During the same period, homicide rates in Canada increased 92%. But in South Africa, in which TV did not appear until the 1970s, the homicide rates decreased by 7% from 1945 to 1974. Astoundingly, after the introduction of television in 1975, the homicide rate increased 130%. In April 2004, the professional journal Pediatrics published astounding research that revealed television watching by children increases their risk of developing attention deficit disorder. The amount of time a child watches TV changes the brain. This evidence, in conjunction with other research with similar findings, has led the American Academy of Pediatrics to recommend no television of any kind for children under 2 years of age and strict limitations on older children. Clearly, what we watch, behold, admire, worship, and believe has significant impact on whom we become. The faculties of the mind function best when the body is healthy. The mind and body are not separate. We have already discussed the mind's effect on the body, but we must also remember that the body clearly affects the functioning of the mind. When physical sickness occurs, the mind becomes less efficient. For example, who would want to take final exams with the flu and a temperature of 103 degrees? We cannot forget that as we talk about the mind, physical disorders will impair its functioning. Humanity's break with God has not only weakened the mind with selfishness, but also subjected the brain to disease and physical defect. Alzheimer's disease and stroke, as well as schizophrenia and other disorders, affect the physical brain itself, the hardware, and subsequently impair the functioning of the mind. Sometimes restoring wellness requires biological interventions to treat the hardware, but at other times, social, psychological, or spiritual interventions are needed to treat the software. That's what makes psychiatry so challenging and exciting. As a psychiatrist, I often utilize medicines to stabilize a person's biochemistry. Medications can minimize the impact of genetic or environmental defects in the brain. Some of my Christian patients have difficulty with this and even experience guilt when taking psychiatric medications. A number have endured criticism from well-meaning friends. I remind my patients that when Adam fell from grace, genetic defects began to enter our DNA. As a race, we became subject to disease and death. Thus, our brains do not operate as efficiently as Adam's did when he came directly from the hand of God. Our brains can, and often do, have various defects in the actual molecular structure and functioning of the cells. The hardware of our mental computer is often defective, and medicines can sometimes improve the functioning of the mental hardware. A recent discovery published in the American Journal of Psychiatry strikingly illustrates this. Dr. Michael Egan and associates discovered that a single random gene mutation on chromosome 22 alters memory function. Medications can compensate for a biological weakness, reduce the intensity of unhealthy feelings, and improve brain efficiency, thus making it easier for reason and conscience to gain strength and restore balance in the mental processes. As we recognize the relationship between body and mind, we should also remember the importance of healthy living. A healthy lifestyle directly affects our mental state because the healthier our body, the healthier and more efficient our mind. Conversely, an unhealthy lifestyle prevents us from attaining our full mental potential because it undermines healthy brain function. That is the reason for the health laws given in the Bible. God wants His people to have the healthiest minds possible, but achieving this requires the healthiest bodies possible.
This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. We've been listening to Dr. Timothy Jennings reading from his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We'll enjoy more from that book on our next program. Now, if you'd like to include this audiobook in your very own listening library, you can. All you need to do is visit comeandreason.com, become a member of the Come and Reason family, and this and many other resources can immediately become yours to enjoy. That's comeandreason.com. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.